Interesting Items 1122. Howdy y'all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Rittenhouse. 2. Settle. 3. Porn. 4. Veritas. 5. Pills. 6. Parents. 7. Gruden. 8. Transitioning. 1. Rittenhouse. Given the happy outcome of the Rittenhouse trial, our side has been doing no small amount of head-scratching asking what the ultimate goals of the prosecution and the greater political left were bringing such a terrible case, terrible as it was premature, without any investigation, and prosecuted as dishonestly as humanly possible. Legal Insurrection posted a piece that started down that road while the jury was deliberating. The left wants all power to be invested in the state and the state only. And they intend to be in complete control of the state. They want that power strengthened, which means the right to self-defense to be eliminated or limited to only a select few. A young man like Rittenhouse, with conservative leanings, is simply not allowed to have that right. But Rittenhouse is just a vehicle for delivering the greater message. Rioters in causes the left support are righteous and allowed to destroy cities. Ordinary citizens must sit down, shut up, and take it. They are not allowed to defend either their property or lives. The most they can do when attacked is take the beating and hope not to be killed, not unlike Reginald Denny, the truck driver dragged out of his vehicle during the 1992 Rodney King riots in LA, bashed in his head with a concrete block, and beaten within an inch of his life was. Prosecution of those who defend themselves goes hand in hand with refusal to prosecute the rioters and looters. This has the positive effect of emboldening the rioters. The media and political left will mount a defamatory campaign against their designated targets to taint the jury pool and ensure there is no ability for the targets to raise any money to mount a defense. In this way, the process is the punishment. And even a hung jury is a positive outcome for the prosecution, as they can keep on doing it again and again and again until the target runs out of money and resources to mount a defense. In all of this, actual guilt or innocence is unimportant, as the ultimate goal is to deter future attempts at self-defense. Stirring up hatred is also a positive outcome to the left and the prosecution, all of which explains why a lot of Americans have been buying guns and ammunition. 2. Settle. Looks like the $450,000 payout floated to illegals was a bright shiny to grab our attention while the real destruction was being done elsewhere. The Obamoids followed the Clinton lead with the use of sue and settle lawsuits by friendly litigants as a vehicle to use the federal courts to rewrite federal rules, regulations, and federal law without any legislative input whatsoever. The game is a friendly lawsuit brought, countered, and a settlement negotiated, which is what both the litigant and the friendly administration wants to do. It was used to great effect during the Clinton and Obama years in environmental issues. Harris, Zaiden are using it to tear down immigration laws. There is no reason to settle these illegal immigration cases but expect the corruptocrats at, in justice to settle them just the same. 3. Porn. A week ago, Suzanne Downing in Must Read Alaska broke a story about gay porn on the shelves of an Anchorage school. The book is entitled Gender Queer, aimed at young teens, and filled with graphic drawings. The book appears to be a newfound favorite of the librarians, showing up AK, CA and SC public schools so far. Downing's piece had embedded a video of an enraged parent reading the book out loud in front of a school board meeting in Orange County before he was ejected from it. An article about SC has the governor ordering an investigation into its presence in South Carolina schools. Would be nice if Alaska's Governor Dunleavy were similarly inclined. An internal investigation ordered by ASD Superintendent Bishop claimed to only find a single copy of the book, which was removed and inserted into the municipal library. Apparently, porn is okay in the municipal library these days, though I don't recall a hustler display. ASD quickly went on to other events. The story prompted several questions, which I sent to Bishop and members of the Anchorage School Board. It has been a week, and so far, no response. Which ASD school had this book on its shelves? How many students checked it out? Specifically, who authorized the purchase and display of this book? What was the rationale for its purchase? When was the book put on the shelves? When was it pulled? What has been done to discipline whoever made the decision to purchase and display this book? Finally, and most importantly, how many similar books exist on the ASD library shelves today? I requested a copy of the internal report a week ago. Made a second request this morning via the Alaska Open Records request. There are 3 school board seats up for re-election in April. I expect gay porn will be an issue. It should be. For the record, all other porn has no place in the public schools either, but you already knew that. 4. Veritas. One of the ongoing stories has been the use of the FBI to cover up for known Biden corruption. Mostly, they simply look the other way like they usually do with Democrats. Sometimes, they actively go on offense against their targets. Most recent example of this is a raid a couple weeks ago at the home of Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, and a number of their people. The excuse was theft of a dairy of Biden's daughter Ashley. The raid seized computers and phones. Within hours, data, letters, and other attorney-client information started showing up in a series of 4 articles published about the contents in the NEAT, obvious recipients of leaks from the FBI. Interestingly, Veritas and the NEAT are locked in an ongoing court battle on another issue. Veritas got federal judge to order the FBI to stop exploitation of the laptops and phones, which may have slowed them down a little bit. With a family as dysfunctional as the Bidens, the diary has some really icky stuff in it, but Veritas was never able to verify any of it to their satisfaction and never published anything from it. Another conservative platform was not so bound, so that info is out there. The problem here is the close working relationship between the FBI and the NEAT, something that ought to bother all of us to some extent. 5. Pills. Just another reminder of the endemic fraud and corruption that the public health apparatus is based upon these days, comes a story out of FEE last week that discusses what appears to be an intentional delay by the FDA in approval of COVID pills manufactured by Pfizer and Merck. Normally, I would blame simple bureaucratic incompetence for this sort of thing, but not this time, as the FDA/CDC and related agencies hold a number of patents for the vax and stand to make a great deal of money the longer the vax mandate is in effect. I wrote a few weeks ago about the coming exercise in cognitive dissonance once the pills were approved, as if one works, you don't need the other. Appears the solution by our federal masters is to slow roll hearings and emergency approval requests for the pills. Add to this the request by the FDA to delay release of Pfizer's vax data used to license the shot for 55 years until 2076. So much for openness and transparency. No wonder nobody trusts the public health apparatus these days. And why should we? 6. Parents. The conversion of the FBI into the American version of the Stasi is all but complete, with the release of whistleblower information documenting the use of counterterrorism tools against concerned parents. Documents were released to the House Judiciary Committee. The FBI, under orders from Attorney General Garland, who denied doing this in a Senate hearing a week or two ago, created a threat tag to compile, categorize what they call domestic terrorist threats from parents aimed at local school boards. Once you are in their database as a terrorist, that database tag will live with you forever. That tag will also flow through any contact you may end up having with other federal agencies. For instance, the FBI raided the home of a couple in Homer, AK over the summer, misidentifying the woman for another woman inside the Capitol building Jan 6. The couple who used to regularly fly, is now singled out for increased harassment by TSA to the point where it is all but impossible to fly anymore. The FBI and, in justice, are doing precisely what they have been told to do. And Garland and the media are lying about it. 7. Gruden. For pure comedy gold, we have the announcement of John Gruden's lawsuit against the NFL and Commissioner Roger Goodell. Gruden was forced to resign as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders a month ago after a number of highly acerbic emails he had sent to friends while working for ESPN at the time. One of those friends worked in the front office of the Washington Redskins, which was investigated by the NFL for sexual harassment claims. The emails were apparently swept up during the investigation and leaked after it was complete and fine levied. Gruden was on the 4th year of a 10-year contract paying him $10 million/year. The emails were not leaked by Washington or Gruden. The only other ones who had access were in the league office. In the emails, Gruden called names, used all sorts of language you don't use in public anymore, and was generally as ugly as you would expect someone with the nickname Chucky, from the horror movie doll of the same name. But these were private conversations. And whomever leaked the emails ought to be on the hook for the balance of his remaining contract along with legal fees and a substantial penalty. So much for defending the shield. 8. Transitioning. Parents of a 13-year-old girl filed a federal lawsuit against a Florida school district for secretly transitioning her into a transgender male during school hours. This included allowing her to use male spaces, restrooms and locker rooms, and choosing pronouns. The kid had some confusion, which the parents were dealing with the best way they knew how. They notified the kid's school what was going on. The school in turn started meeting with the girl without the parents' knowledge and assisting her in embracing a different gender identity while at school. They denied facilitating any transition-related medical procedures, which they most certainly can do in some other states. The school hid behind the kid, denying parents knowledge of the meetings or allowing their presence unless expressly authorized by the kid. The school's actions assume the kid needs to be protected from the parents rather than by the parents. Note that everything the school did by definition undermines everything the parents are trying to do, which I guess is the actual point of public education these days. More later. A.G. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, Speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.